Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
So Michael Riedel had a great idea. He said, let's not do the show. Let's just play the audio of Trump's rally and go home. Riedel said it's more entertaining than anything we could do.
Absolutely. You can't top Trump when he is on a roll at a rally.
You know, if I'm a Democrat, I would worry about the midterms, because if he goes out every day and rallies, I mean, he fires him up. He talks about crazy Maxine, Mad Maxine, and
crazy Bernie,
and Pocahontas, and the fake news media, and Russia hoax, and his people love it. They eat it up.
And the great thing is, he was stumping in Pennsylvania for a guy none of us had ever heard of.
Joe Bartlett.
Joe Barletta.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lou.
Lou Barletta.
Lou Barletta.
Have you ever heard of Lou Barletta?
They're not booing. They're saying Lou.
And now everybody in Pennsylvania knows Lou Barletta, and the name recognition alone will probably help him carry the day in the election.
It's just amazing what he does. Really,
it's terrific. You've got to admire, even though you disagree with Trump, you have to admire his show business instinct.
It absolutely is. Well, to quote John Dean, let him go out and do his gibberish on the road and pretend he's president. Anyway, what happened in Queens last night? Was that a tornado or not? I mean, all these trees down, power's out. What happened last night?
I got a tornado alert on my phone last night.
You did? I didn't get one.
Where am I? Kansas?
I know. So in the city, you got a tornado alert.
Yeah, I got a tornado alert. Yeah.
So obviously, we had some issues. We'll talk to Ray Stajic of the Weather Channel in just a few moments. Our big three. And of course, we lead with today's hot button issue. The media is the enemy of the people. Or is it? We've got Ivanka. We got the president. We have a contentious news conference. Also, Russia, Russia, Russia. What else is new? Two points of view on that one. Also in the big three, you know, that police shooting that we talked about yesterday appears to be something very different from the way it was first reported yesterday. That was in Brooklyn. We shall discuss. And rounding out the big three, Apple does it. The first company worth $1 trillion.
And naturally, if you look at the left-wing, capitalist-hating New York Times
New York Times says it's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. But then I'm just reading a very incisive editorial in the Wall Street Journal.
Or insightful.
Incisive.
Incisive?
Yes. It's an incisive and insightful. Incisive. You can be both.
I don't know.
Saying, yeah, this is the celebration of capitalism. Okay. When an American company becomes this successful.
How stupid were we not to buy that stock?
I mean, I have it.
Oh, you do? How about?
Yeah, of course.
You do not.
But did you get it early?
Yeah, I like the first day it was released.
He's lying.
Years ago.
He has no stock. He doesn't.
I mean,
buy
I just
stock.
Do this as a hobby.
No, they said if you bought $1,000 when it was first issued, it'd be worth like almost $500,000 now.
Did I? Yeah. No, I don't have that much.
$1,000 when it was first issued.
Yes, it would be worth, I think, $450,000.
Wow. I remember reading a story, front page of the Wall Street Journal. It was about when Microsoft was the top company. Yeah. And the woman who worked as sort of a clerk or a librarian when Microsoft was starting, just sort of cutting out clips that were in papers about the company. Yeah. She was given 10,000 shares of Microsoft.
Wow.
When she retired from Microsoft, she was worth $25 million.
Oh, and Google, I mean, I just kick myself because I remember the first time a technician came up to show me how my computer worked at Channel 4. This is ages ago. And he says, I'll Google you. I said, what?
Yeah,
I had no idea what Google was. And he Googled my name, and I went, whoa. I said, this thing's amazing. Now, why didn't it click that, you know, hey, maybe buy a share of it, dummy? I mean, I thought it was an amazing, amazing thing, Google, when I first saw it.
I remember when the stock, I was at Google, I think it was like $69 a share that it was the initial offering.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Hey, but nothing lasts. Look at what's going on with Facebook.
It's still doing pretty well.
Yeah, but it's lost. But in the dynamism of capitalism, everything's going to change. I was thinking of you reading this editorial, Len, because it said, once upon a time, GE was an investment staple for everyone. And I'm thinking, how many shares of GE does Len still have?
Way too many. If I could have only traded them for Apple a long, long time ago. Hey, we've got your Mets tickets. My personal seats at 7:30. The Mets lost last night. The first of a four-game series with Atlanta. Final score was 4-2. And we have the turning point from that game for more tickets at 8:30. But, well, where do you begin?
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
Oh, now they're disgusting.
Fake, disgusting news. Disgusting. Not just fake. Two fakes and one disgusting. Oh, boy.
Well, here's the thing, though. CNN is now insufferable. You saw Jim Acosta, at the press conference with Sarah Sanders yesterday, demanding, showboating, that's what he was doing, showboating, that Sarah Sanders denounced Trump for saying the press is the enemy of the media. His job is to report what the president says and does, not to stand up there to try to elicit some apology from Sarah Sanders so he can get all over CNN that night with his stupid showboating tactics.
First of all, he was sitting, because I watched it live. Second of all, this all came about because the first daughter, Ivanka, had a press availability yesterday, and she was asked straight out. She was like a bright young woman.
She is
like the
her.
Media the enemy of the people? And Ivanka said, no, I don't think so, which is in direct conflict to what her father says. So I thought Jim Acosta asked a perfectly good question. If the first daughter says they're not the enemy of the people, why is the president saying it? And do you, Sarah Sanders, really think... And I thought that was a fair question.
And
however,
she had a very good response, the way the media savaged her.
Well, and also her response was, she is here to represent the president's views. I thought that was the best part of her answer.
The thing about Acosta is he went beyond just asking a question.
Exactly.
You know, he challenged her. He grandstanded. If he just asked the question, Ivanka says the media are not the enemy, what do you say to that? And left it at that, but no, he had to get into this little fight, get a little screen time for himself.
Mm-hmm. So you think this was a little aggressive?
The President of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the President. He's made his comments clear.
Well, I think that's the best thing she said, is that her job is to speak for the President. Right. It's not her to make the declaration.
That's right. Yep.
So Acosta was saying, well, you right here and right now and go on the record. And I thought she handled it pretty well. I'm not the biggest Sarah fan, but I thought she handled that pretty well.
It's not Acosta's position or job to tell the president what the president should be saying and doing. That clip there, he says, the president should not denounce the media the way he's doing. That's not Acosta's job. His job is simply to report on what the president does, not give orders to the president what he should say and not
However, the argument can be made. I mean, he is, well, listen to this bite again.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, fake, disgusting news.
Now, you see how, well, you saw how in Tampa, how the crowd really went after Acosta. You know, CNN sucks, the whole thing. There was video of these women and other people walking by giving him the double bird. It's not a stretch to think at some point someone's going to take a pot shot at someone in the media because of the president's rhetoric. I don't think that's unfair.
When you say pot shot, you mean an actual shot?
No,
with a
I don't
gun?
Mean it. No. But I mean, someone's it could lead to a fist fight or someone going after someone in the media, and I could see it escalating. I really can. I'm not just exaggerating here.
Ratings up for everybody if that happens.
I agree with you, Len. I really don't.
You do.
I don't like what he's doing in terms of the media. Now I can understand why he's doing it because it is incessant, and he says they can turn anything into bad news. And they do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely do.
Just look at what the New York Times did today with the success of Apple. It's got a huge front page story and say, oh, this company's too big and it unequal distribution of income.
Right.
It should be a celebration that America has the most valuable company in the world and that Apple has revolutionized the way we communicate. By all the times, oh no, income distribution is inequitable because of companies like Apple.
So here's my question. Is that fake news?
It's a slant.
It's a crusade, I think, on the part of people like the Washington Post and New York Times. It's a crusade to bring him down. It's not fair reporting.
I guess what bothers me is calling it fake news. I think that's the part that bothers me. If he gets up there and say, you know, they're biased against me, there are more people on the left reporting for these publications.
Len, you know, if you
that would be a fair statement. To say it's fake, I do not think that people in your newsroom at the Post, Michael, and in other newsrooms, and in your newsroom, Joe Bartlett, they're sitting around like, okay, what fake story can we write today?
We make it up all the time.
That's not what it's all about.
We make it up all the time.
Well, that's the Post. That was a bad example on my part.
But Len, if Trump were to come out and say, I think there are too many reporters who have a left-wing bias, that is boring. Trump is a show business genius, and he comes up with fake news, and it sticks.
It does stick.
It's the rallying cry.
It absolutely sticks. But that, I think that's what bothers me, having worked in newsrooms my whole life. I really do. I think it goes a little too far, and I am worried, and I am worried it's going to lead to something that's not pretty, and it isn't pretty. Really, that's what we want in America today in our discourse. We want entire crowds being whipped up into yelling CNN sucks. Is that what we want as a country?
I think what came out of yesterday with the intelligence briefing and with Ivanka, essentially the message was, pay no attention to what the president says. We got things. Everything's okay.
Is that true?
It really is kind of true.
Pay no attention to that guy over there. Like the Wizard of Oz.
Right, yeah.
Pay no attention to the guy at the rally, because I got it covered with Ivanka. And, and of course, all the intelligence heads at the White House saying, yes, Russia's trying to interfere again.
I mean, the White House itself, I guess, is now doing what John Dean said. The president, they're sending the president out to have a great time at rallies, gin up the base, and let everyone. We're really running things, folks.
Let him go out, do his gibberish, play president.
This could be very effective governance, I think.
I think it may be. All right, coming up, when we return our wacko of the day, this guy wanted to go to a concert, so he took a plane. No, really, he took a plane. Introducing your weekly mixtape. Every week, we are creating a personal mixtape special for you. You know, like your high school sweetheart or BFF used to do back when CDs and cassettes were a thing. Based on the music you love, you thumb it up, you listen. Each week, we create a playlist of tracks that we think you'll love and have it ready and waiting right there at your fingertips. Look for your fresh mix every Monday. Your weekly mixtape. Open the iHeartRadio app and find yours now. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, and all free. Subway troubles this morning. Here's Bernie Viter.
It's Friday, folks. Hope you have big plans for the weekend. The weather is not so great today, but I'm going to the beach on Sunday. It looks like it's going to be
Sunday
a beautiful day.
Absolutely. Sunday, Monday. Yeah, that looks great. It's some rain. You know, they've been saying rain in the area all week, and it hasn't been a bad week. So hopefully they're wrong again today, but they're talking about some rain. Well, we'll have Ray Stajic. He'll tell us in a few moments.
Exactly. Hey, this is a very funny story. Now, you've heard the expression, I've got a plane to catch.
Yeah. Oh, I want to take a plane.
Yeah. How about I've got a plane to steal?
The guy wanted to take a plane.
Yes. He's 18 years old. His name is Zemarquius. Strange name. Zemarquius Devin Scott. And he wanted to fly to an out-of-state concert.
He was in Arkansas, right?
Yeah. And he wanted to fly to see a concert that was in another state. So he just hopped into the cockpit of an American Eagle plane.
How do you just hop in a cockpit of a plane?
I am not sure how he got past security and got into the cockpit, which, of course, is very secure these days since the attack on the World Trade Center. But he got into the cockpit, and he was arrested in the cockpit. And he told the police, he said, well, piloting a plane, it just involves pushing a few buttons and pulling some levers, right?
What a nut job. I'm going to a concert. I'm going to take a plane.
I'm going to fly it myself. Never flown before.
Oh, no, sure.
But what's it? You hit this button. You hit the button that says what? Autopilot? Or the button that says take off?
Hit the button that off. Says take off.
Take
then
off.
You hit the button that says land. Fly. And then you hit the button that says land. It's very easy. It's like a video game.
Simple as can be. Anyway, he has been arrested and charged with breaking and entry.
What a jerk.
And criminal burglary and attempted theft of property. By the way, it was an American Eagle jet, so this was not some tiny little propeller.
I don't know how
plane.
We got in there. Well, it's Arkansas. Don't call me from Arkansas. I don't want to hear it.
Where were the pilots?
I don't know.
Who the heck?
Maybe they were at the concert.
Can you imagine, though, if you were a passenger on the plane?
Yeah.
And I bet
a few buttons.
I bet he probably could have figured out how to fly that plane.
No.
Could have.
How can you figure? Really?
Do you remember, what was that movie where the guy pretended to be an airline pilot?
Well, Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can.
Leonardo
Catch Me
DiCaprio?
If You Can. He pretended to be an airline pilot.
He didn't fly.
He must have.
He must have, though. He was up there in the cockpit. Pretending to be a pilot.
He did everything.
He did.
Passed
this
bar. He was crazy.
Yeah, he was in the cockpit. Yeah, absolutely.
That was a great movie. I like that.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, so it can be done.
Yes.
I wouldn't try it myself, folks. But Ray Stajic, we are going to check in with the weather today and this weekend. Ray? Are you there?
Good morning.
Hey, Ray, now tell me, Sunday's going to be okay for the beach, right?
That's all he cares about himself.
Am I done here?
Yeah. No.
No, okay.
No, I want to know about, first of all, there's two parts to this. Well, let's do chronologically. What the hell happened in Queens last night? They were talking about tornadoes in the area?
Well, there was a warning. Nothing confirmed. It did come in as wind damage in Queens Tornado warning, though, covered Queens, the Bronx, parts of Long Island. Been a few years since they've had a warning on Long Island.
Yeah.
Trees down, College Point, in the area of 3rd Avenue, 147th Street. Also some reports of some trees down. Now, tornado warnings are issued when the Weather Service sees rotation within a thunderstorm. So it was nothing confirmed, but there was a warning, there was a rotation within that thunderstorm. So, yeah, it was an interesting night last night for some.
What's it going to look like today?
Yeah. What's happening tonight?
This morning, I think we'll stay dry. It's humid as heck out there, though. Boy, we've got dew points here in the mid-70s. That is a tropical climate. Anytime you get above 75 degrees, some of the dew points are around 76 this morning. So there's a lot of moisture in the air. So what needs to happen? Well, we need to release that moisture. And I don't think we will this morning as the rain showers extend from the track up at Saratoga Springs, just north of Albany, down through the Capital District, Williamsport, PA, down through State College. But eventually that rain's going to get here mid to late afternoon. So after about 3 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier to the west, showers, thunderstorms will start coming in. If you didn't get rain yet this week, I think between this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow.
But tonight's going to be pretty bad, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll have widespread showers, thunderstorms. Best time, 21Z puts you at about, probably start coming in about between 4 and 8 o'clock tonight, looks like the
in
worst.
In the city,
yeah. Yeah, in and around the city.
Hey, since we're doing individualized forecasts, doing something for Riedel, I have a friend of mine who's going to Italy.
Okay.
What kind of weather forecast? Is it going to be like 1,000 degrees there? That person shouldn't go? What's the story?
It's going to be sunny and hot. Probably about 90-ish, but their average high is about 87 across most of Italy. Southern Italy is about 31 degrees Celsius. Remember, they measure in Celsius there.
I heard it was like up to 40 Celsius in some spots the other day.
Yeah, and they have had unusually warm weather, hot weather in parts of Europe, but some of that heat's starting to back down a little bit. So
90s if you're going to Italy. I just wanted to know for a friend of mine.
Low 90s. Okay. So and it looks dry, too.
I think our friend is going to be near Pompeii, so any chance of Vesuvius erupting?
There's always a chance, I guess. I don't know. I didn't get up. I was a volcanologist. I didn't dig into that today.
All right. Yeah. Saturday's going to be, what's Saturday going to look like?
Here? Or are we in Italy still?
No, here.
Oh,
no,
here. Damp. more wet weather expected, scattered around. I think on again, off again through most of the day.
Yeah. So all right.
It doesn't look like a great Saturday.
All right. Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic. Thank you very much.
Right.
And now let's get some news. 6:30 with Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
I was going to ask about the 14th hole at my club. Hey, this story took quite a turn. Off to the police sergeant who claimed he shot a would-be robber yesterday. May have shot this guy as part of a love triangle. Daily News says Sergeant Richard Blake and Savon Santana were dating the same woman. The Chief of Department, Terrence Monahan, says they're trying to figure out the circumstances now.
We're not going to make any determination at this point until we can actually interview everyone that's involved.
All right, Santana's hospitalized. He was shot in the chin. Blake is now on desk duty. President Trump appears to be splitting with his intelligence chiefs again. They warned that Russia is trying to interfere with the midterm elections. Hours later, though, the president had a different kind of take during a rally in Pennsylvania.
Now we're being hindered by the Russian hoax. It's a hoax, okay? I'll tell you what, Russia's very unhappy that Trump won. That I can tell you.
I thought he finally admitted that it was Russia. But then he said, or it could be other people.
You know, I mean, some of this is conflated. He may be referring to the Russian collusion here as opposed
to the
Russian interference.
See.
Yeah. Right. Ivanka Trump separating from her father. She says it was a low point when they were separating parents from children at the border. And she says the media is not the enemy of the people. Legalized marijuana has taken another step forward in New York. Governor Cuomo appointing a group to create legislation to legalize and regulate pot. Quite a turnaround for Cuomo, who had called it a gateway drug, but since he is facing a primary challenge from Cynthia Nixon and she is all pot, he has...
she's all pot? Or
she smells
her
like...
Her campaign has gone to
she
pot.
She smells like a joint.
She's all pot all the time.
So now he pointed a commission and recommends legalizing.
She's not gaining much traction on him, though. The polls, he's blowing her away.
Hasn't got a chance. No. Speaking of elections, a Tennessee town has elected a professional wrestler as its new mayor.
Why not?
Glenn Jacobs, a 6'8" WWE wrestler known as Kane, was elected mayor of Knox County after beating a Democratic opponent. He's a former WWE champion, best known for his feud with The Undertaker. Of course, you
of
know
course,
that, Glenn.
Best known.
He ran on a platform of lower taxes, improved infrastructure, and limited government. That's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Did Jesse Ventura campaign for him?
Very cute. Hey, sports is next. Not a good night for either the Mets or the Yankees. But I'm going to tell you about the iHeart Radio Music Festival. It's back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to this lineup of performances. Justin Timberlake, Fleetwood Mac, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Luke Bryan, Leonard Skinner, Kelly Clarkson, and many, many more. Now's your last chance, the very last chance to buy tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Get them now before they sell out. And starting Monday, you'll have eight chances a day to win your trip, including airfare, hotel, and tickets, all on 710WOR. All the info is at 710WOR.com. And now let's get the traffic from Bernie Biden.
New York, 710WOR.
TGIF, everyone. It is Friday, the 3rd of August, 2018. Here's what I love about Michael Reedle. He comes up with these dark stories that I never heard of about people dying.
What?
Well, this guy, he said he's built a boat. What did he build, an ark that went 300 miles an hour?
No.
What are these weird stories? Where do you get these stories?
I was listening to the BBC this morning, and they always have some interesting offbeat stories.
Listening to the BBC? Out. Why were you not listening to WOR 710? What's wrong with you? Don't know who pays your salary around here?
I flip around to get a sense of what's going around in the world.
The BBC. BBC. All
yes.
Right.
Well, you're not going to get the story anywhere else. This isn't.
What's this boat story?
There was a famous boat racer by the name of Donald Campbell, and he built a boat called the Bluebird.
Yeah.
And he set speeding records. He hit 267 miles an hour on a lake in Scotland with this boat. And then in 1967.
So this is like the world's fastest boat or something?
Yes, it was the world's fastest boat, the Bluebird. In 1967, he wanted to break his own record of 267 miles per hour. He hit 300 miles per hour, but then the boat flipped, crashed, killed him, and sank.
But he did set the record.
So he did set the record, and then he died.
Yes. On a bright note, he set kind the, of a good news,
he
bad
set
news
the record, yeah. And the boat flipped.
So he
you can
died.
See, you can see pictures
so
of the accident.
Why is this fascinating to you?
Because in 2001, they salvaged the boat.
Yeah.
They brought it up from the lake, and now they have restored it to pristine condition. I'm looking at a picture of it now.
How
it looks
big
like
is
an airplane.
This Bluebird
it fits
thing.
On the back of a flatbed truck. It's not very big because it goes so fast. They have completely restored it, and they're going to get it back in the water, and they're going to start racing it again.
The kids are going to try to do this?
Not his kids. His kids don't have anything to do with the restoration, but they were interviewed for this profile of him, and they said, you know, they're happy the boat is back, but they haven't seen it yet, but they, you know, think that they're going to be overcome with some emotion when they do finally go.
Are they
going
to try to set records of speed records with
this thing? They're going to try to get it, they say, the boat back up to speed. Right. But if you go up on our website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael, you can see the boat looks like now, Bluebird, what it looked like when they salvaged it, and you can actually see the crash. It was filmed.
Oh, they filmed the crash?
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of the boat flipping upside down.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And the guy's name is Donald Campbell. He was a very, very famous speed boat racer.
Was it a stylish-looking boat for what it did back in the 60s? Yeah,
it looks like an airplane.
Wow.
That's what it looks like.
All right.
Very interesting little bit of history.
Thank you very much for bringing that to us.
Is it gruesome?
Maybe we should just flip on the BBC and not talk. You know, let people listen. Would that work out? It would sound much more intelligent with those British accents anyway.
That's very true, Len.
Yeah, very good.
Shall I tell you about the Bluebird?
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Hey, another great game for the Mets last night, trailing 1-0 in the first inning.
The 1-0 on the way, hit deep to right field. Back goes Markakis. This might go, and it's gone. A home run for Brandon Nimmo. So Nimmo turns a 95-mile-an-hour fastball around, hits it off the screen in front of the Honda clubhouse. For Nimmo, his 14th home run of the year, and the Mets have tied the game 1-1.
And they're on their way to a 4-2 loss.
Oh, gosh.
So just another day at the office. Tonight, they'll try again against the Atlanta Braves. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05, and Jacob DeGrom's pitching, so you know the Mets will only score one or two runs, so if that.
We have tickets to give away at 7:30.
Yes, I have my personal seats at 7:30, and then we have the turning point at 8:30. Now, you know, Jerry Blevins always goes on with Pete McCarthy at on Tuesday nights, but he didn't go, you know, that's at 6:10 every Tuesday. He didn't go on. He's the relief pitcher for the Mets. He didn't go on this week because it was the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he thought he was going to get traded. I don't know. So anyway, he went on a rare Thursday night appearance, and the discussion came. I mean, Mets fans are booing, and they should, and they have every right to. So Jerry Blevins was asked about that by Pete.
If it's a lack of hustle, if it's a dirty play, if you're just being a bad person, I could be provoked to boo. You know, if I were a Met fan watching the World Series or the lead up to the World Series and saw Chase Utley take out, you know, our shortstop, I probably would boo in that situation. Or if somebody threw at, you know, David Wright intentionally, unprovoked, I would definitely let my emotions fly. So I get it. But, you know, some people can't handle it at times.
Well, you know, some players are sensitive. Now, did you ever go to a sports event? I know you like tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go and boo?
No, I'm not a booer.
No, I'm not either.
I wouldn't boo an athlete.
But I know people who get really, I mean, they'll get close to the first row and they'll start screaming and yelling
and
berating players or managers or umpires, and people are just like that. I guess they feel they have the right to, but I have a funny feeling if they pass that same player in the street, they wouldn't boo him. They'd ask for an autograph.
They would.
I guess they feel protected up in the stands. I guess you can call this a little bit of good news. Remember they were having the MRI on pitcher Steve Matz, who gave up the 7 runs in the first inning against Washington. Well, I guess no structural damage for Matz. Now, there is some talk. He may still go on the disabled list. What else is new? But it looks like it's nothing serious. You know, when you hear forearm and tension, you know, he said, oh, here we go. We're going to have Tommy John surgery. But no, this is none of that. It looks like not as bad as they said.
Well, that is good. That is good. Not a great night for the Yankees.
They got trounced, absolutely trounced by the Red Sox. They took the lead early. I saw some of that. It was 3-0 on a D.D. Gregorius homer in the first, and then C.C. Sabathia in their bullpen, they just collapsed. And a former Yankee by the name of Steve Pierce had 3 home runs, and they wound up losing to Boston, which is it's going to be tough for them because now they're 6.5 games behind the Red Sox.
Mm.
And if they don't win a division now because of the new rules a few years ago, they'll get involved in the one-game playoff. I mean, you can have a terrific season, win 95 or 100 games, and wind up in a do-or-die one game. So, they were talking about Sonny Gray. He's a pitcher who did get booed at Yankee Stadium. He's been taken out of the starting rotation. He's been struggling for the Yankees. So the Yankees are all of a sudden facing some pitching issues. Oh, one little golf note for you.
Oh.
It looks like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are going to play head-to-head around Thanksgiving time. You know what the prize is going to be?
A turkey?
$10 million.
Wow.
The winner. Winner take all.
It's an expensive turkey.
$10 million.
Wow.
So that's the plan with these two guys. However, I like what golfer Patrick Reed said. He's kind of a quirky guy who won the Masters. He said, you know, a better idea is let them each put up their own money. Then we'll see what they're made of.
Where are they playing?
They think they're playing on a golf course in Las Vegas.
Oh.
So where else? No, but they used to have the Skins game in Las Vegas way back when and around Thanksgiving time. People will watch that. It'll be a ratings grab. I mean, if Tiger Woods is playing Phil Mickelson head-to-head for $10 million, I assume people will watch.
Who do you think wins?
Oh, my God. That's a great question. I have no idea because I don't think either of them are going to win anything major again. So
no,
they're both over the hill.
I think Phil wins.
I'll take Tiger.
All right.
Just to be obstreperous.
I'll bet you $10 million.
There's your word of the day.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I'll bet you 10 million pesos. Hey, coming up next, boy, that story certainly changed in a hurry. The cop who opened fire in Brooklyn, they said it was one thing. Well, guess what? It was something else. But first, let's check out traffic. Here's Bernie Bite.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Well, that shooting involving a longtime NYPD sergeant, Len, is not what it initially appeared to be. The sergeant, Richard Blake, he shot in the jaw Favon Santana, and he claimed Santana was robbing him. But it turns out now that the sergeant, Richard Blake, was furious with Santana because Santana may have been having an affair with the sergeant's wife, and that's why he shot him.
So. Well, you know, you saw the headline yesterday, and the story was, well, this robber picked on the wrong guy because he was an off-duty cop.
Yep.
Well, guess what? This wasn't just a random thing walking to the subway in Brooklyn.
No, it was not. And the Richard Blake, the sergeant, he was on probation following an arrest 2 years ago on allegations that he attacked his girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of him being led away by cops?
Yeah.
He has a blanket over his head.
Yep.
So you can't see him. How embarrassing is that for a perp walk? Well, what amounts to a perp walk? Not really, but he's being led away by cops.
Yep.
And he has a blanket over his head so no one can see him. So this is...
I think this is a career that's come to an end.
Yeah, I think he's done. This is Chief Terrence Monahan was talking about it.
There are certain things that we saw in this investigation that we have questions that are unanswered at this point. Until we answered that, we felt it was best to place him on modified duty.
Yeah, so they took away his shield and his gun. And
I hope they took away his gun since he shot this poor guy in the jaw.
We're not going to make any determination at this point until we can actually interview everyone that's involved.
Well, but the word, you know, word gets out pretty easy. I mean, I see the Daily News story. I'm sure the Post has it, too, that... it was all about a girlfriend, and they were rivals for the same woman. But they had a big disparity in age. One was 40, and what was the other guy, 21?
Yes. Yeah, he's a very young guy. They found a box cutter at the scene of the shooting, and at first they thought it was Santana's, the guy the sergeant claimed was mugging him. But now it turns out it may have been the property of the sergeant. He may have planted some evidence, possibly.
Wow, well... innocent till proven guilty, but this guy looks like a bad egg. He shouldn't have been a sergeant carrying a gun.
No.
That's what he was, yeah.
No.
Wow. Off-duty NYPD sergeant. Stripped of shield and gun.
I tell you, jealousy drives people to commit terrible, terrible acts.
Now, you know, the whole story came up this week about 3D printed guns, which is a story that just makes us crazy.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we couldn't wrap our minds around the fact that a printer can make a gun.
I know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess you feed the printer the blueprints, mm-hmm. and it prints out in plastic. So I don't know how it works. I don't have a 3D printer. So.
I don't either. But it creates, Natalie showed me on the web, it creates parts of the gun out of a liquid plastic that then hardens, and then you can assemble the gun, and you have a plastic gun that... you probably shouldn't have, because you can get past the metal detectors at the airports with a plastic gun.
Well, they're untraceable.
Yeah. No serial numbers?
Nothing. Yeah, so that's awful.
No, just to understand how it works. Remember how your old printers used to work like a dot matrix where it would, you know, go back and forth for every little part of the letter?
Sure.
Well, think about that, and then it builds upon it on top of it. So it'll have
plastic, though, you see.
With plastic, or I believe it could do with other substances also.
Yeah.
So it's just, it has its blueprint, and then it just, it's a machine that builds anything that it has the specs for.
Can you make a gun out of Play-Doh? when the Play-Doh printer?
Seriously, this is a serious question.
Play-Doh printer would be fun.
What do gun owners say who are always talking about the First Amendment, Second Amendment? Is this a Second Amendment issue for gun owners?
I haven't heard the NRA really defending this one. And even Trump,
I have not.
Yeah, even Trump said he's not on board with this
one. Well, anyway, why this comes around is because it was supposed to go Wednesday. The key is the blueprints.
Right.
I mean, I guess anyone can have a 3D printer, but you have to have the blueprints. So the blueprints were going to be released to anyone who wanted them,
mm-hmm.
and a federal judge in Washington put a stop to it. But Police Commissioner James O'Neill was asked about the issue yesterday.
We don't need any more firearms in New York City. We definitely don't need any firearms that are untraceable.
Well, that's for sure.
Mm. But the bullets would have to be metal, or can you make plastic bullets? And I suppose if they were fired at a certain velocity, they can do some damage.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, they wouldn't do the same damage as metal bullets.
We don't need more guns in New York City, and we definitely don't need guns that are not traceable, because that 3D printer guns are basically a zip gun. It's one round that's fired, and there's no rifling. So there's no way to trace where that gun comes from. And if you carry one in New York City, you're committing a felony.
So that's one round. That's it. One round. That's interesting. He says he has very strong feelings about it as well. He should, but that's just crazy.
I have not heard in this debate about these 3D guns, I have not heard the NRA come out one way or the other on this.
And normally when we talk about guns, we're inundated with phone calls from, Second Amendment, strong Second Amendment people, very strong gun owners, because we have a lot of in our audience who are very strong on that issue. Haven't had a single call about that.
No.
No.
I think also the printer... correct me if I'm wrong, Natalie, but I think that printer is very, very expensive. So it's not really it's not a household object.
The ones to build something like this would be. There are versions that are in classrooms these days. My kids have 3D printers.
Really?
But they're building small little
objects.
Like
what? What are they building?
You know, I'm not really sure, like a widget. I mean, something very tiny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just for the concept to learn what a 3D printer is, because it is something that's very exciting, because it can even build prosthetics. Inexpensive prosthetics, which is huge.
It's a thing of the future. I mean, obviously, it's going to happen, you know, to print all kinds of objects. It's going to happen.
I wonder if someday some kid will print a gun at school. That could happen. Ooh, crazy. That's a chilling thought.
That is a chilling thought.
All right.
Thanks for bringing that up. All
right. Trump is trashing Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders.
What else is new?
And the media.
Not Pocahontas?
He trashes Pocahontas.
Oh, good.
He trashed them all.
Hit them all
at a rally. We'll have the details when we get back after the news at 7 o'clock.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a very good Friday morning to you if you're just joining us at 7:05, our big three this morning. Well, Trump was at it again. Brilliant performance, I thought, yesterday in Pennsylvania, Len.
No,
what a showman.
He was
the latter-day P.T. Barnum.
He was terrific. He spared no one. He took down Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas, and the fake, disgusting, that's his new word for it, media.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
See, it used to be just fake news. Now it's fake, disgusting news.
Pounding it right home. Yeah. But I thought it was one of his finest performances.
Really?
Yes. Come on. You have to admit, Len. I know you disagree with him, but it's just entertaining.
It's entertaining if he wasn't the leader of the free world. I mean, yeah, that would make it even more entertaining.
He understands his people. He understands what they want. Nobody is better at ginning up a base of support than Donald Trump.
That could be a problem. We'll discuss.
He is a great politician. Also in the big three, shooting involving the sergeant who said he shot a guy because the guy was mugging him. Turns out to be quite a bit different. Apparently, the sergeant was involved with the girlfriend of the guy he shot. They were having an argument.
Wow.
He shot the guy in the jaw. And now they were hustling him out. You can see the pictures of him in the papers today. He's got a blanket over his head. So he's in some trouble.
Yes.
And rounding out the big three, Apple is the first company in the history of capitalism to be valued at $1 trillion, and Len owns no stock.
And I have none of it. So what does this mean to me if it's worth a trillion? Why would I care?
It is a celebration of the industry of this country, that it's an American company that is the most valued company in the whole world.
It's pretty good.
The strength of our economy.
Making iPhones and that kind of
stuff. That's right. The strength of a capitalist system. And of course, if you read the New York Times, they're questioning too much power Apple has.
Well, they're questioning wages, too. They're saying that I don't know why. I don't know what the connection is, but they're talking about distribution of wealth and wage, stifling wages.
The Times is not like capitalism. It wants the government to run everything.
What does the Wall Street Journal say? They like capitalism.
The Wall Street Journal has a great editorial celebrating the triumph of Apple. But it makes the point. It makes the point, you know. It says, Apple, enjoy your stay at the top. But remember, it's not going to be forever. Because they point out, once upon a time, a staple of American investment.
Don't tell me.
GE, your company, where you have all your stock.
Well, they used to own NBC, and I have all that stock in my pension plan, which is worth borscht.
That's right. But the point is that the economy is dynamic, and it's always changing, and Apple has had a great ride, but someone's going to come along someday who's going to invent something that is just going to knock everything out. That's why we love the free market.
Yeah, 3D guns. That'll be worth $2 trillion.
Speaking of the New York Times, I'd be very curious to get your take on this. I was looking at this story in the New York Post. Now, the Times has hired a new member of the editorial board, and her name is Sarah Jong.
Right.
But people went back and looked at some of her tweets, and this is what she says. She bashes, quote, dumbass effing white people.
Mm-hmm.
She calls old white men, groveling goblins.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted, oh, man, it's sick of how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men.
Wow.
Are white people genetically predisposed to burn faster in the sun, thus logically being only fit to live underground like groveling goblins? Now,
I think she fits right in on the Times editorial
I think she
board.
Does, too.
Yeah, so what's the point? What's your question?
The point is, she's clearly Asian American.
Right.
The point is, what happens if she had said that about African Americans? Do you think the Times would have hired her?
No.
No, but it's okay to bash old white men.
Yeah.
You have no problem with that.
No, I didn't say that. What are you putting words in my mouth?
Well,
I think
you don't seem as worked up about this as I am.
Well, clearly what she did was inappropriate. I saw the Times response that they talked to her about it.
She said, I know. They said, this was intended as satire.
How many years ago was this?
I don't know. Seven years ago. It was intended as satire.
So the question, the real question is, I know you're making it a black, white thing, and I understand that. The real question is, should your social media live forever and disqualify you forever? That's the real question.
One, it does live forever.
It does.
It does live forever.
Yeah.
Two, I'm not so sure that it should disqualify you forever, but I think those tweets are pretty ugly, and I just think it's a double standard at the Times. If it had been a white person doing this about an African-American person or an Asian-American person saying these things, that person would never be hired at the Times.
No, that's not just the Times. But I think in general, there is a double standard, and probably for good reason, because of the way blacks are treated in this country. So I understand it.
So it's fine for this woman to trash old white men.
Well, it's
fine.
Not.
Beat up on old white men.
Obviously
she can now
not.
Have a big position at the editorial board of the New York Times.
You're saying she shouldn't be hired because of old tweets?
I would not have hired someone who writes and talks
right.
that way.
Fine.
I think that's inappropriate.
That's fair. I'm not going to disagree with you. It's a great lesson to everybody on social media that
be
this
careful.
Crap is going to live forever, and you think you're being cute. Maybe she thought she was being funny. Maybe she did. Give her the benefit of the doubt. But it doesn't you don't get sarcasm on social media.
No,
It doesn't come across. You have to be very, very careful what you write because it's going to come back to bite you.
And don't trash groups of people like that. Just not appropriate.
Absolutely not.
And, somebody who never trashes anyone is Trump.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
So you want to play his greatest hits? What do you want?
Yes.
What do you request?
I want
Max.
I want Maxine Waters first.
Trump's greatest hits.
Here we go.
You know who the new star? You know who the new leader is? Maxine Waters. Very low IQ. Low IQ. No, Maxine Waters is like, she's like their new star.
I wonder if her IQ is.
I have no
That's
idea.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but she has been inappropriate telling people, if you see anyone from the Trump administration, you go right over to them and you hector them and you yell at them and you scream them. She's ginning it up too, so Trump's just giving as good as he gets.
So you want to hear his hits on the others?
Yeah, let's hear Bernie.
Okay. And Pocahontas?
And Pocahontas.
Let's say I'm running against Pocahontas or Crazy Bernie. I tell you, I got to hand it to Bernie. I saw him up there. The other day, had hair is getting whiter and whiter, and he's getting crazier and crazier.
Well, wait a second. If someone shouldn't be talking about someone else's hair,
that's
it's
true.
This guy, okay? Really?
That's true. That
he who
true.
Lives with a gelled mop should not be throwing shampoo, okay?
He just takes him down at a time. You got to love it.
And then we brought obviously the bigger issue with the media, because it came up at the White House press briefing with Jim Acosta. And I said earlier, if you weren't with us an hour ago, and I'm sure many of you were still fast asleep, that the concern is that the ginned up talking about the media may cause some wacko to create violence against the media. Now, so I got an email from Chris about rhetoric. He says, yeah, the violence you talk about has already begun. It comes from the left. The shooting of the Republican softball team, the verbal attacks against Sarah Sanders and her family. Well, I just want to make the point that you could make a case that still stems from President Trump. I mean, he's getting everybody nuts on all sides, and he's the one who's really, you use the phrase, ginned it up. It's Trump who's ginned it up. There's no question.
Well, listen, I think the violence is probably going to come from the left, because the left is getting demented and revolutionary.
Oh, you don't think he's going to get anyone from the right to do something stupid with the media?
I think if there's going to be sliding into violence, I bet it comes from I think left-wing people are going insane, and I think they're capable of just popping off. Hey, does a call on line one from Joe in Norwalk, Connecticut. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. You kind of made my point a second ago, but if you look at it, the media is not the enemy of just Donald Trump, but basic conservatives in this country. When the New York Times hires an openly racist woman against white people with no reservations, no problem with that, that's a clear example of what we speak of. So Trump is right that the enemy of not the American people, but the conservative Americans of this country, where the hatred that has been built up for Trump has made an individual grab a gun, run over and try to kill Republicans playing a softball game. Steve Scalise is, by a miracle, still alive. If you look at even before Trump, there was a guy named Dorner that went out there, had left-wing rants, big manifesto, went on a shooting spree. That was during the Obama administration.
Yeah.
So it's clear that the majority of the violence comes from the left because they're lunatics.
And Joe, right. let's not forget the left. Let's
go
not
ahead.
Forget the weathermen back in the 60s making bombs down in Greenwich Village. How about that, Len?
Absolutely. It's just the examples are endless.
Absolutely.
And you don't see the weathermen on a conservative side bombing liberals because of their policies.
Joe, not only that, the New York Times, they have interviewed ex-weathermen, and they paint them out to be heroes now.
Of course.
Unbelievable. All right. Good call, Joe. Good call.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Len?
I'm
you can't even.
I could give you chapter and verse about Donald Trump, and I'm just going to say I just don't even know how to respond.
Remember the weatherman?
Really, the Mexicans are rapists. Do you want me to go down chapter and verse? That he went after the Central Park Five. You talk about racist. Come on. Don't give me this. It's all the left. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay?
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, you are.
Joe made some very valid points.
You say, yeah, Joe. Way to go, Joe. We didn't even get it to Sarah Sanders. We'll carry that over.
We'll carry it over, yeah, when we come back. Hey, all those iPhones add up. Apple is now the first company in the history of capitalism to be valued at $1 trillion. $1 trillion. I hope you own some stock.
All right, let me tell you that our iHeart Music Festival is back. September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. You got Justin Timberlake. You got your Fleetwood Mac. You got Carrie Underwood. Hey, look at this. You got Shawn Mendes, Michael. You got Leonard Skinner.
Mendes.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson and more. Your last chance to buy tickets now at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Get them before they sell out. And starting Monday, 8 chances a day to win your trip, including airfare, hotel, and tickets right here at 710WOR.com.
And now let's get some traffic from Bernie Vider.
New York, 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone. It's 724. In about 5 minutes, we'll have my personal Mets tickets up for grabs. Don't call now. We'll tell you when to call. You'll be seeing the Mets and Giants. That's August the 20th at Citi Field. So before we talk about Apple and the $1 trillion, that dust-up in the White House press briefing yesterday between Jim Acosta of CNN and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, this all stemmed from Ivanka Trump earlier saying that, no, she didn't think the media was the enemy of the people. So Acosta tried to get Sarah Huckabee Sanders to say the same thing, and she wouldn't bite.
The media has attacked me personally on a number of occasions, including your own network, said I should be harassed as a life sentence, that I should be choked. ICE officials are not welcomed in their place of worship, and personal information is shared on the internet. When I was hosted by the Correspondents Association, of which almost all of you are members of, you brought a comedian up to attack my appearance and call me a traitor to my own gender. In fact, as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. No, the media continues to ratchet Annapolis. Up the Brian verbal assault against the president and everyone in this administration. And certainly we have a role to play, but the media has a role to play for the discourse in this country as well.
But she's absolutely right.
But didn't answer the question.
But she's absolutely right. That correspondence dinner, they invited that vulgar, unfunny comedian who said terrible
Michelle
things.
Wolf.
Michelle Wolf, that's what you call a roast. I remember we talked about that. Even you thought those remarks were inappropriate.
Oh. Anyway,
forgot that one.
Can we get a playback on that roast morning show that we did?
Yeah, I thought they were a little unfair to Sarah, but Jim Acosta kept going at it. And listen, listen to the stand he takes here. Jim Acosta of CNN.
The president of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
So that's what I can't agree with is that her job is not to set policy. Her job is to represent the president. So
yes.
But we're going to take your phone calls a little bit later. What do you think? Listen, you and I have been in media our whole lives. Are we the enemy of the people?
Well, I got to tell you.
You are? Well, maybe you
well, back
are.
You're
think,
the enemy
I
of
think
Broadway.
He likes to be the enemy of the people.
Yeah, I think he likes to be the enemy of Broadway.
I got to tell you, back in the day when I was making a name for myself, I trashed shows. I trashed Broadway icons. I mean, yeah.
Like who? Give me a Broadway icon you trashed.
I trashed.
Carol Channing?
No, I would never trash Carol Channing. You know, I trashed Steve Sondheim, and he's a beloved Broadway
What has
figure.
He done?
He did a musical that wasn't very good years ago. He did a musical, and I just, okay. I didn't trash them personally.
You know, but Neil Simon, did you go after him?
I went after his wife.
Really?
Well, now, yeah. Why would you do that?
Elaine Joyce, she's an actress, and she was being kind of difficult at a rehearsal and ordering the producers around, just being a bit of a diva. So, yeah, I took after
So he's the enemy of the Broadway, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, I would have to, and I got to tell you, when I was back in those days, I loved every minute of that.
What a villain.
You are a villain.
A nasty person.
You know, I don't keep playbills, but for the shows that were huge flops that I helped destroy.
You're kidding.
I keep all those playbills.
did you get the producers to autograph them for you?
I have Taboo.
You are a low
I have
life.
Spider-Man. I have Sweets. All the ones all right,
quickly,
that gave me fodder for destruction. I have them on my coffee table.
Before we get to the tickets and Joe Bartlett, we mentioned Apple, the first company ever to break $1 trillion in valuation. Now, the story came out. I mean, the headline grabs your attention in the Post. Steve Jobs told his daughter she smelled like a toilet on his deathbed.
Ew.
They didn't have a great relationship. Apparently, she put on some bath water, you know, some cologne or whatever. And but they had a terrible relationship. I'll tell you why it was kind of terrible is because for the longest time he denied that she was really his daughter. So that could set off a relationship on the wrong foot.
Did you see the movie about Steve Jobs?
It portrayed
the problems that he had with his daughter. It was a very good movie.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the headline. You smell like a toilet. Way to go. Now's your chance to win my personal pair of tickets. See the Mets take on the Giants August the 20th at Citi Field. Be caller number 9. Caller 9, 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. And to purchase tickets, visit Mets.com/tickets. It's time for the latest news headlines. And for that, we welcome in Joe Bartlett. Good morning to you, Joe.
Hello, Len. A love triangle may be to blame for that shooting in Brooklyn yesterday involving an off-duty NYPD sergeant. Daily News says that the Sergeant Richard Blake and the man he shot, Savone Santana, were dating the same woman.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of nasty.
But look at the age difference of these two guys. One was 40, one was 21. So they're dating the same. Was she like in the middle? Was she 30? What was the deal there?
She was definitely in the middle.
Were there actual threesomes going on?
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Details,
but no.
Come on, Joe.
What kind of newscast is this, Joe?
Paint the picture for us.
Come on.
I don't believe it was a threesome.
No, I don't think so either.
It was...
Two at a time.
Yeah. Anyway, as far as this sergeant is concerned, he's riding a desk right now.
There are certain things that we saw in this investigation that we have questions that are unanswered at this point. Until we answered that, we felt it was best to place him on modified duty.
Love that guy. He sounds exactly like a cop should sound. Chief of Department Terrence Monahan. Speaking of cops, New York City on pace for the lowest crime rate since the Cold War era. Mayor de Blasio says last month, July was the safest July on record.
Wow.
After a small spike in crimes the previous month.
We all were honest in May and June that we saw some things we didn't like so much and some things that we wanted to address differently.
You know, every day we hear about crimes and shootings and killings.
Right.
But
in the summertime, too.
Yep, I mean. And when it's all said and done, murders were down 37% last month. And for the year, overall crime is now down 1.7%.
That's good.
Continues to fall. This is probably going to help with that. Legalizing marijuana. Governor Cuomo's
That's going to help drive crime down?
Okay. I don't know. Governor Cuomo's appointed a group to create legislation to legalize and regulate pot in New York. Just last year, he dismissed this kind of thing, saying, hey, that's a gateway drug, but changed his tune amid a primary challenge from Cynthia Nixon, who commissioned a study that says, hey, we should legalize it.
She has no chance.
No, but she's pushing Cuomo left. Day 4 of the trial against President Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, yesterday, financial professionals who dealt with Manafort gave details about his spending. They've spent a lot of time on his wardrobe here. I don't know about the rest of the case here, but yeah, he likes to spend on expensive clothing.
He's got an ostrich quote.
The judge say knock it off. Yeah. I don't want to hear any more about wardrobe or something.
Yeah, they were talking about what he bought.
This trial is getting no traction. Even CNN has given up on covering this trial. They barely mentioned it.
They've gone back to Stormy Daniels.
There's no ratings for this trial. Nobody cares about Paul Manafort.
Finally, living advice here. If you live near a busy road, not good for your heart. New survey says it creates dangerously swollen hearts. Huh? It's often seen in the early stages of heart failure. Researchers blame pollution and stress. Pollution and stress. The person may not feel ill, but they do face a greater risk of heart attacks and other problems. They call it silent heart attacks. They say people living near busy roads need to exercise more and eat healthier.
So there you go.
If you live near a busy
advice
road
for today, there, if you live there a busy road.
I live next to the West Side Highway.
Oh, you're done.
I'm finished. I'm toast.
And the stress you created by writing all those negative reviews. You're done. You're going to die young. Hey,
enemy of the state.
Enemy of the Great White Way.
Clear the phone lines. We have our winner. We'll tell you who it is in just a moment. But we want you to call in because we want to take your phone calls. The big Jim Acosta, Sarah Sanders dust-up. Is the media the enemy of the people? We want to hear from you. Call us, 800-321-0710. But right now, let's check out traffic, and let's check in with Bernie Vider.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. It is Open Phone Friday. We want to know if you think the media is the enemy of the people, as the president says. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. How about that Jim Acosta at CNN?
How about him?
The president of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
That's Acosta editorializing. What do you think? 1-800-321-0710. But first, we got a winner.
Yes, we do. Congratulations to Kevin O'Brien, Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey. Won my personal Mets tickets. Your next chance to win a pair of tickets. Well, the Turning Point contest from last night's loss against Atlanta. That'll come your way at 8:30.
Hey, all right. Let's go to line one with Tony in New Jersey. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning. Love your show, guys.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
Listen, I don't know if they're necessarily an enemy, but I think they're definitely a danger. I think because they've so abused their obligation to report the truth and become the cheerleader of a single political party, that there's so much distrust. That's the real danger, that half the population just doesn't trust the media and doesn't know where to get the truth.
Well, is it on both sides? I mean, you do have, it's not just one political party. I mean, you have a couple of big cable networks that represent two different points of view.
I would say the ones that are on the right, like Fox News, it's mostly their commentary that's on the right. It's not their news reporting that is necessarily so biased. You know, I don't even listen to them. I don't have cable myself, but from what I've heard when I have watched them, it's not the news reporting that's really biased. It's more the Hannity, which is more commentary. You know, that's opinion. That's not news.
Right. The evening folks are a lot more. That's for sure.
Tony's absolutely right. And, you know, Hannity's open on that he's on the right. But, you know, Anderson Cooper's bashing Trump all the time. But I think Anderson Cooper tries to present himself as a fair, objective, balanced, disinterested journalist, which he is not.
And that's really just one source in a pool of, you know, how many news stations are on the left? You know, all the major networks are so far on the left that, you know, their bias is so apparent. You know, what if you don't have cable, who do you have on the right?
If you don't have cable, who do you have on the right?
Well, it's none of the main networks.
Yeah. Well, everyone feels that the main networks lean left, so.
They do.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening, pal. How about Clint in Brooklyn? I have a feeling Clint wants to set me straight. Hey, Clint, what's up, kid?
Good morning, Clint.
Maybe not set you straight, Len, but hopefully get you to see it from a different
perspective. See the light. Anyway. Let's get Berman to see the light.
There you go. So I know you're a sports guy. When you watch a baseball game, the umpire of that game makes 100 calls. All of them make 100 calls. If they get every single one of them right, all they've done is their job. There's no applause. There's no booze.
Right.
That's the job of the media. What's happened to the media, especially media like CNN, is they got it wrong, and they're getting it wrong every single day, and that is why the public is totally fed up.
Well, what percentage of the public? I mean, I would assume that CNN has its followers. I don't know. Is it the 40% that supports Trump? Are they the ones fed up?
Well, I think I agree with the previous caller. CNN paints themselves as a network, as a news reporter network.
I hear you.
There's a big difference. Yeah. There's a big difference there.
Yeah, they're not umpires. I got you.
All right. Thanks, Clint. Hey, let's go to Phil in New Hyde Park on line two. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Well, hello, gentlemen. If you both were friends of mine, and then all of a sudden you start saying things or making up lies about me, you're not exactly my friend anymore. And that's how I feel about the media. No, they don't have to be. They don't have to be enemies of the president. But if they would tell the truth once in a while, that would be fair.
Let me play devil's advocate for just half a second, because yes, CNN ma'am. Just had a report that the Washington Post has now calculated nearly 5,000 mistruths that the president has spoken. So
5,000 is nothing.
Okay. I'll be happy to address that. They've matched it with 10,000 untruths on their side.
Oh, so they beat them 2-1. All right.
Okay, they beat them 2-1. But my final thought is that the slavish media attention given to Obama was so over the top, so embarrassing. I just want to know that we're doing well as a country. I want the media to bring us together. They're not doing that. They're tearing us apart and forming a vacuum. Okay, where violence is possible, should never be. This is a decent president. I don't care about his style. He's the president.
I hear you, Phil. All right, thanks, Phil. Just to play devil's advocate, there are those people who feel the president's divisive. So,
got time for one more?
Well, we got time for a few more. How about Mike in Cold Spring Harbor? Hey, Mike, what's up?
Good morning, Len. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I don't think that they're the enemy. Okay, but I think it's so distorted. It's like when the IG report came out and said that Obama knew about Hillary's server, that was never reported. Never reported. Now, did he lie when he did that? Yes, he lied. Nobody ever talks about his life, but you just said there's 5,000 lies on the Trump side. So how can you say they're being fair? And this is what creates the animosity. I mean, am I right? When the IG report came out, it was noted in there that Obama knew about Hillary's emails. It was never reported. So it's so one-sided that the people on the conservative side feel like they're not being fairly treated.
Yep. All right. Mainstream media picks and chooses.
Point taken.
Exactly. They just choose what they want to report. If they would just show both sides, then you can't say. I mean, when you watch Fox, they have people on both sides. Mm. When you watch CNN or MSNBC, they only have one side.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are some feel that Fox only has one side, too. But I hear you. I hear your points.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Hey, very quickly, Greg on line 5 in Chatham. Good morning, Greg. I'm going to make it quick, though. You with us, Greg?
Yes. First of all, Acostas is absolutely lying when he says that Trump is pacing all the media, all the press as enemy of the people. No, he specifically is targeting the fake news, left-wing news organizations.
Well, he calls everything fake except for Fox News. So, yeah, you know, I think that's the problem. Is he has called just virtually every outlet, including the Washington Post, New York Times, fake news. The only news he doesn't call fake news is Fox News, and they're generally supportive. So that's my problem. Is it fake or slanted? Well, I think it's a matter of terms here.
Now it's fake and disgusting.
Fake and disgusting.
What does he say?
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
Oh, fake, disgusting. Duck, duck, goose.
Hey, when we come back, what are you going to do when a naked woman jumps into the East River? Jump in after her. Some guy did.
Okay.
We've got a story that's coming up. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Biter.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. 710 WOR.
Just another day in New York. I mean, this guy goes to the park to read his comic books.
His comic books? So yeah. He's a kid?
No, he's a guy.
A grown man reading comic books?
Well, yeah, comic books are interesting. The guy's 29 years old. He went to the park to read his comic books, doesn't everybody? And doesn't everybody then see a naked woman go up to the railing by the East River, say, "Hey, I'm from Boston," and jumps in? Now, this guy.
Really happened.
His name's Norman Pope. He jumps in after her.
Did he take his clothes off first?
But he can't swim.
Oh, no.
Jeez. I mean, this is, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
So anyway, So the cops threw him a line and rescued him, and they eventually were able to catch up to the woman who was a mile away. She went from the Williamsburg Bridge to the Manhattan Bridge, the current carrier upriver, and they took her for a psychiatric evaluation.
See, I think they should take him for a psychiatric evaluation. You can't swim. You're going to jump in to try to save somebody when you yourself can't swim?
Well, but that's a good Samaritan. This guy's a good guy. But see, I told you the Daily News had a little line, and they called the lady something like Lady Go Diver. And you thought that was terrible. If the Post had it, you'd say, oh, look at this funny, great headline from the Post. Because the Daily News had it. You were jealous.
You know what comic book he was reading?
What?
Aquaman.
Yeah. All right. Well, here he is. Thanks to Channel 7, here is Norman Pope, the non-swimmer Good Samaritan.
I came across a naked lady that seemed like she was going to jump. So she jumped. She jumped.
Well, I came across a naked lady. It is ladies here. Ladies.
Do we know what she looks like?
See, that's where you go with.
Well, you know, Anthony said the same thing.
Anthony, you come on, you're reading your comic book and a naked lady walks by. You want to know what she looks like?
The description: naked. There you go.
Exactly. Hey,
but she's from Boston.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
I mean, if a very attractive naked lady jumps in the water, I'm going in after her. If a 300-pounder goes in, I'll wait for the police to come.
This is going to offend a lot of people.
Yes,
I've lived in both places. I'm going to tell you, the women in New York outrate the women in Boston. Okay,
well, I'll say thank you.
I think that's going to piss off some listeners. Or maybe not.
Certainly.
If you're in Boston, sorry about that. You may have a first-place baseball team, but we have the first-place women in New York.
Can you play that guy again? I like the sound of his voice.
I came across a naked lady that seemed like she was going to jump.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
So she jumped. She jumped.
She did. We got more from our friend, the Pope. The Pope jumped. Wait a second. The story gets better and better. The Pope jumped in?
I'm looking around. I don't see anyone, so I just jumped. Tried to save her.
Norman Pope, age 29.
She's floating. She's good. She just seems like she knew what she was doing.
She didn't want to come out. The police
said she was having a little spa treatment in the river.
The police
exercise.
Said she was enjoying the dirty water. She was swimming along.
The water's not as dirty as it used to be.
Well, this is the East River.
Oh, that's really, that's
I
still
would not dirty. Want to be drinking or bathing in it.
Anyway. No.
Think of all those dead mopsers at the bottom of it. The cement shoes.
They put her on a flotation device and carted her off to Lower Manhattan Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation.
But you know what? Good for him. He was there. He saved a life.
Yeah, but he can't swim. What
but you
is
know
he
what?
Possibly
he still saved a life.
He's a good guy.
He didn't save her. He jumped in and he had to be saved.
You don't know what would have happened if he wasn't there.
Can't we give him some kind of award at City Hall or something? I mean, that's very nice he did this. He said, I thought I was going to drown. I thought I was going to lose my life. He has a six-month-old daughter.
Oh, right? My gosh.
He said, I was scared. Wow.
But he jumped in anyway.
But you know what? He had the instinct that he saw somebody in trouble and he wanted to help. There's not that many people out there that would do that.
Yeah.
Depends on what the lady looks like who jumped in.
He said during the 20 minutes he was in the water, he started to second guess his decision.
Well, poor guy. Well, you know what? He made 20 minutes, so he obviously knows how to tread water.
Well, Anthony's job today is to get a picture of this.
Yeah, see if you can find a naked lady.
Let's find a naked lady.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, we got an update on penis pictures.
Yeah, but
you can't get enough. you just can't get enough on penis pics.
More young women have come forward to say that they also received unwanted penis photos from a doorman at Tudor City Place Co-op in Midtown Manhattan. This is the guy, he was sending pictures to women who lived in the building. Another woman has come forward. She thought it was some guy she dated. She didn't know it was the doorman, but she
didn't recognize it, huh?
No. That's what I was going to say.
I haven't seen that before.
I mean, she must have dated a lot of guys because she'd say, which one was that?
Yeah, wow.
Is that the one on Thursday or the one I had on Tuesday?
So they always say they all look alike.
All the ding-a-lings look alike?
I don't know. Well, they're similar in nature, depending on what procedure they had when they were born. Yeah.
But apparently the people who were getting these messages, pictures, they can't press charges against this guy. He used an app called Text Me, and it masks his phone number. And police say it would be almost impossible to prove that the messages came from his phone. But he was found out because one of the women he was texting to got him to show off a little bit more, and they were able to identify him, I think, from a tattoo.
Yeah, but they said it's not a crime. The police, that's why they wouldn't prosecute. They could give him a citation or a violation, but there's no crime.
He was texting from the locker room for the doorman in the building.
There's a locker room for the doorman?
And yeah. You know what? There's going to be a few more women coming out, because this last one didn't come out until she realized she wasn't the only one. And, you know, this guy's got problems. Well, and somebody's got to stop him.
We've got Alice Stockton Rossini on the case.
She's on the case.
If anyone who is going to sort out the penis pics, it's going to be Alice. And we'll have her live report coming up probably after the news at 9 o'clock.
I want to know if she can find out if he actually hosed anyone in the building. Could have had a little fling with somebody, don't you think?
When you said hose, I didn't know what you meant. That's just your phrase? All right, coming up, those Trump kids. Coming up, we'll have their comments from yesterday. Oh, and Omarosa, too. It's 8 o'clock.